From time to time, most of us will need to call on medicine. We get sick or we have an illness or a disease, and we need to make a trip to the pharmacy and pick up some pills, pick up whatever it happens to be. And for most of us, it's an expense. And sometimes we can find it is a little bit of a hefty expense. And we're going to have a look this morning at how the price of medicine is determined and decided with Professor Rosalie Viney from the University of Technology in Sydney. They're Professor of Health Economics there. Firstly, good morning, Rosalie. You rustled around this morning on public transport or buses and trains. You exhausted on your way into work?
No, just an unexpected delay, so...
Welcome, I apologise
for any ambient noise.
Welcome to public transport, I guess. It's par for the course sometimes. Look, we all grizzle about the price of, well, pretty much everything, but can you take us through how government does decide how much we're going to pay for most of our medicine?
So I think what's important to distinguish is the price that we as consumers pay compared with the price that the government pays. So because of the pharmaceutical benefit scheme in Australia, most general patients pay $38.80 for a script, and if you're a concession card holder of any sort, then you only pay around $6.30. And so that's the price that we pay as consumers, but that's not the price the government's paying. And that price is determined by a negotiation between the government and the company that is the sponsor of that drug in Australia. And that might be quite a high price sometimes, you know, in some cases many thousands of dollars, in some cases more like, you know, $100. And there are a few drugs that are actually lower than the price that the general patient pays, so below that co-payment price.
Okay, so that's very interesting. So sometimes we pay more than the government actually paying.
Well, no, we don't actually pay more. If a drug is under the co-payment price, so if the price of the drug that is paid, that the pharmaceutical company is charging, is below that co-payment that the patient would pay, the patient only pays the cost of the drug plus a dispensing fee. So it's really only about drugs that are above that co-payment amount.
There are so many times we hear that, oh, we really need this particular drug or this pill on the PBS, and there's always a push to get it on there. How many, how many medications aren't on there versus how many are? Is it a big disparity, or are they just ones that, and how is that decided?
Look, the vast majority of medicines that Australians need are on the PBS. There's around probably more than 600 different compounds there. I guess the question you're asking is about what happens with new drugs. So we hear about new cancer drugs that are breakthrough drugs or in other areas. And the way that's decided is it has to come before the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee. It's a committee of experts who consider all of the evidence. So they look at the effectiveness, the safety, and the cost of the medicine relative to the current treatments that are available, and consider whether it's good value for money. So it's important that we don't pay unnecessarily large amounts of medicine, because if we do, then obviously we're spending that money on medicine and it's not available for other healthcare. So what we want is good value for medicines that provide health outcomes. And so there's a negotiation process that has to happen.
For some of the medicines that are expensive, irrespective if they hit the PBS or not, what actually goes into the makeup of the cost? I guess how is a cost justified for something that costs hundreds or thousands of dollars to something that might only cost $50 in terms of the price tag on the shelf that the government or us pays?
So a lot of this is to do with the age of the medicine. So obviously there are research and development costs associated with getting new medicines to consumers and coming up with new drugs that improve health outcomes. And for the companies that are doing that research doing the hard work, I guess, of bringing medicines to market, they need to be rewarded for that. And so in Australia, and indeed in really every other country or most other countries, the companies are awarded a patent, so there's a patent life on that drug, and during that time they're the only person who can sell that drug, and so they are charging a cost that will recover their research and development costs.
And just very quickly before I let you go, Rosalie, and get on that next bus or train, how do we compare generally with other similar nations across the world in terms of cost for medicine?
So that's a very interesting question and a complicated one.
Of course it is.
in terms of older medicines, there is some evidence that we have certainly in the past and still to some extent paid more than other countries. Our system didn't have a natural way of pushing the price down in the way that some other countries have had, because they do things like competitive tender. But for new drugs, we've tended to be able to get relatively good prices by having a committee that considers the expert evidence and looks at the value for money compared with other medicines.
Okay, like you said, it is a very complicated question. Thanks for trying to pull that apart a little bit for us, Rosalie. You have a good rest of the morning.
Okay, thank you very much.
Professor Rosalie Viney, the complicated world of medicine and the costs of it. I guess there's a little bit of an insight in how it all is priced and how it's all determined. At 2NURFM at 9:29.